called the Kavajan Yeshiva. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is a good Shimon. And he had a Talmud. There was a Talmud in Yeshiva named Rav Shimon Shkaf. He didn't want to... when the rug would come to give the shear, they quickly run out of the room. That's why I feel very much like I'm around on a magnet shear in the Yeshiva Balazi. It's a big honor for me. But also when I get up, people run out of the room. So Rav Shimon Shkaf was a young student at the time. He was just Shimon. And whenever Rav Chaim would get up to give the shear, he'd quickly run out of the room. You know, now he didn't want to offend him, but he didn't want to stay for the shear. So he quickly ran out. One time, he was a very poor boy, and his shoes fit. And he couldn't afford a new pair of shoes. So he took a string, and he tied the sole of the shoe to the top of the shoe. And the only problem was he couldn't run with this new shoe that he had, so it was concocted. So when the Chaim got up to give the shear, he couldn't run out of the room. He would have had to walk. And if he would have walked out of the room, what would have happened? Rav Chaim would have been offended. So he said, so not to offend the rabbi, I'll stay in. So he stayed in, and he liked the shear. So he stayed in for another day, and another day, and he ended up being in the shear for a year and a half, and for the rest of his life, he regretted not having learned more Torah from him. So the moral of the story is, who is this kedai to be for? Okay. So the, I always like to give a little bit of a different perspective on Purim. So we've all heard about the hidden miracles. Definitely a hidden miracle. We've all heard, Chai Avinash Lubsumi Bukuria, Adel Yadam in Aram Lebarach Mordechai. And we've discussed, I'm sure you've learned about the ideas of getting drunk. And I'm sure you've been through the Masechta. And if you haven't been through it, then tonight you can go through it. You know, listen, if Ariel Edelstein can finish us in about 3.5 months, so you guys can finish the Masechta tonight. So, you learned all of that. But tonight, maybe it's something of a little bit different. I want to talk about, which is not so many minutes, the connection between Purim and the land of Israel. Now, when I talk about the land of Israel, I'm not getting involved in politics or political Zionism or even Zionism. I'm still not sure what the word means. Not that. Just from a Torah perspective, Sharon. I once knew a girl named Sharon. That's the only Sharon that I ever knew. I just want to talk about Eretz Yisrael, the holy land of Israel, which God created the world for. As it says in Rashi in the very first Pasuk in Chumash, Bereshis Bara Elokim. Israel should make creation. But then Rashi says, afterwards, why did God start the Torah with the creation story? Why did God just not start the Torah with the first mitzvah? The Torah is a mitzvah book. So Rashi says, because if the Gentiles say that the Eretz Israel belongs to them, we can say, the Lord created Eretz Israel, and the Lord gave it to us. So you see that the whole creation, from the very beginning until Shmos, until the first mitzvah, we're reading it only because of the land of Israel. So the land of Israel is very, very central. And therefore I want to know what the connection between the land of Israel and Purim is. So the obvious answer would be nothing. There's no connection between, because where did the miracle happen? In Shushan. Now Shushan isn't in Israel. So, and even says in the Gemara, how come we don't say Hallel on Purim? How come we don't say Hallel on Purim? Because if we stay up all night learning, and we also have to say Hallel the next morning, and we have Kriyas and Megillah, we're going to be so tired we can end up dozing off during the Megillah, because we already said Hallel and all the other long stuff. So therefore, Chazal had Rachmanis say compassion on the poor Jews not to ruin their Purim with even more davening. No! That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the reason we don't have Hallel on Purim is... That's one answer. Akiva is correct. And the other answer is we don't say Hallel on a Chutz La'aretz miracle. It's a miracle of outside the land of Israel. You don't say Hallel. So it's an outside of the land of Israel holiday. All the other holidays have a lot to do with Israel. Hanukkah meant that they restored their kingdom in Israel. And Pesach is leaving Egypt on the way to come to Israel. And Shavuos is accepting the Torah. And the Torah says, why am I giving you this Torah? Pasuk in Devarim says, giving you this Torah in order to keep the mitzvahs where? In Israel. So the whole Matan Torah is only in order. It's not me saying it. It's the Pasuk. Otherwise, I wouldn't say such a thing. But the Pasuk says, I'm giving you the Torah in order to keep the mitzvahs in Israel. The Pasuk. So therefore, that obviously, Shavuos has a lot to do with Israel. And Sukkot also on the way to Israel. And so we basically covered the holidays. Tu Shvat definitely has a lot to do with Israel. And Yom HaShemot, how more Israel can you get? So we see that all of our holidays have everything to do with Israel except for Purim. Oh, that's only on the surface level. However, if we go a little bit deeper, as Rabbi Avram Tzvi, I'm losing my memory. I'm already losing it, but I haven't even trying anything yet. So he alluded to, there is a lot to do with the land of Israel and Purim. As a matter of fact, I would even go so far as to suggest that Purim is all about Israel. Purim is an Israel holiday. What is it? So first of all, it says that when we introduce Mordechai, it says, Asher Iglam Yerushalayim Imagola Shagosa Ezivanya Melchida. Where's Daniel Chaim?
He's practicing.
And now he's supposed to repeat the word Higla three times. What does Higla mean? It's not a Spanish dance. The Higla. The Higla. What's Higla? He wanted to go. He's exiled. So what is it? Why does it say the pasuk is three times exiled? So if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember. The truth is I didn't really plan to give the shame until a few minutes ago, so I wasn't able to check it out. But if I'm not mistaken, it's a Vilna Gaon who says, or Medrash, one of the two, but it's both an authorized source, that Mordechai was living in Israel. Remember, when did the story first take place? It took place after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and before the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Jews are waiting in Galus. So Mordechai, it says, was kicked out of Israel. He was sent into Galus. But he didn't like it. You know what he did? He came right back in. So you know what they did? They kicked him out again. Sounds like a few guys I know in Yeshiva this year. They kicked him out again. And what happened? He didn't like it, so he came back. And you know what happened? They did it a third time. So he went into Galus three times, Mordechai. And that's why he said, three Galuses, because he kept coming back. But obviously the third time, now we're talking about the third time, when they sent him to Galus again. And now this whole story is happening. But you see that Mordechai, the hero of the story, was dying to come back to Israel. Now, Ahasuerus, Xerxes, I think in the secular literature, they call him Xerxes. Xerxes, I'm saying that's the name, he's a Russia. So you want to get a Russia, a weird name that the kids will make fun of him in school, so we'll call him Xerxes. Because all the kids in kindergarten, so Xerxes, this holy guy, made a cheshbon. We all know, we all learned the Gemara, the most complicated sugya possibly in the second Megillah. It's freaking out for years. But Ahasuerus made a cheshbon. He figured it out that the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be rebuilt. 70 years have passed, and we were promised that after 70 years we're going to be redeemed. And now he wants to celebrate. So what's the big party that we read about at the beginning of the Megillah? A celebration that there's going to be no Beis HaMikdash. Now people ask me how Jews can take part in such a party. Imagine Hitler makes a party. That's it. That there's, you know, no more Jewish people. You know, because he sees that, you know, their end is near. And a few Jews sneak their way in, or even they're invited. You can go through them invitations. Why not? It's their party. Right? So the Jews were taking part in the celebration. What was the celebration? That there's going to be no more Beis HaMikdash. No more Eretz Yisrael. Like they said before the war, they said, Berlin is our Jerusalem. That's it. We don't need even in some in Hasidic Sfarim, they try to find a parallel between the building of Aro's palace, the way it was built, the structure, and the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. There was an inner room, a middle room, and an outer room. They discuss this in the Sfarim because we know there's no more Israel, no more Beis HaMikdash. That was the celebration. And then we say the pasuk, the Eicha pasuk. V'ashkos v'chleizot v'chelim v'chelim shomim. What's Kalim and Kalim shomim? What does it want to say? The Kalim Beis HaMikdash. So it's a great party. There's going to be no Beis HaMikdash. So look, we can have the Beis HaMikdash right here. We can have a great party and use the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. And then, what were the begadim? It says they wore special clothing. What were the special clothing that Chazal say he was wearing? The begadim and the Kohen Gadol. So sure, it's really, really exciting. Now he's going to supplant the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael, and they can have it all right here and have a great party. That's it. There's no return. So then, we know that what do we celebrate? We celebrate on the 15th. Why are we celebrating? Most of you this year are going to be in a walled city for Purim. Why are we celebrating the 15th of Adar? I was trying to get down which holiday, which month it is now. It's now Adar. Why the 15th of Adar? We celebrate the 15th of Adar in the walled city and the 14th of Adar in the non-walled cities. So Chazal say, if it was walled from the time of? Yeshua bin Nun. What was Yeshua bin Nun's father's name? Nun. What was his color with George Washington's white horse? White. Okay, see, many of you guys know there's a rule not to drink. I'm just testing if you guys are. So you obviously haven't because you're older. So, Mordechai. Why waltz from the time of Yeshua Binun? Yeshua Binun was a long before. Why not waltz from the time of Shushan? Remember, there were 2 days. They finished, they rested on the 14th. All the other Jews. Therefore, that's their holiday. The Jews of Shushan had one extra day to fight. They rested from the war on the 15th, and that's their holiday. But why waltz from the time of Yeshua Binun? Why not waltz from the time of Ahasuerus, Mordechai? That sounds a lot more connected. What if Yeshua Binun had anything to do with anything? So what's the famous answer given by the Yerushalmi? You can do it? For the honor of Israel. Because what was happening at this time? Israel was destroyed. And the Jews felt really, really badly about it. So in order to give honor to Israel, what did they do? They were Koveya. They set the holiday to be on the 15th, that extra day, for cities that are walled, not from the time of Ahasuerus, but those cities that are walled from the time of Yeshua Binun, that throughout history will always remember Israel. That's incidentally why some people have a minhag in Chutz La'aretz, that on the 14th, they have the Suda really, really late. So some people explain the minhag, why do they have it so late? You're supposed to have it the day of the 14th. And some people ended up having it on the night of the 14th, the night after the 14th, which is already the 15th. Also, they say there was a reason for that minhag. One reason given is to remember Eretz Israel. So that is more about Israel. Then, listen to this. This is great. So Haman had written a letter. That's what Avram Tzvi, Ben Tzipor Halev said before, had written a letter to try to get them to stop building the Beis HaMikdash. Because they had already started. And he wanted them to stop. And they stopped it. The construction was stopped in the middle. Because Haman also didn't like the Beis HaMikdash. Remember Amalek? You all know. But Amalek always gets, whenever the Jews are always trying to start doing something important, Amalek gets in the way. That's why when they're on the way to accept the Torah, Amalek attacks. On the way to Israel, Amalek attacks. Amalek always tries to stop any edifice of Kedusha. Amalek is always there in the way. So that's why what Tzedek says is beautiful. Then in Maseches Megillah, the fourth paragraph is about building a shul. What does building a shul have to do with Maseches Megillah? She says that the first three paragraphs were talking all about Purim and about the Megillah, which is our way of destroying Amalek. And then after we destroy Amalek, now we can build our shul, which is a small base on Mikdash. So Amalek always gets in the way, and that's what Haman was trying to do. So what happened, and this is one of the great Venapoksu that people don't know about so much, but one of the great Venapoksu was that Haman was trying to stop the building of the base on Mikdash. He ended up suggesting, Memuchan got up, and he was the one who advised Ahasuerus to drop Vashti. And who was Memuchan? Memuchan says, the Gemara is Haman. So Haman advised Ahasuerus to drop Vashti. Who did he bring in instead? Esther, and with the union with Esther, generated a son named Daryavesh. And what did Daryavesh do? He built the Beit HaMikdash. So once again, Haman cut off his own foot because he tried to stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And because of his very actions, he brought to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, because the union of Ahasuerus and Esther begat. I like that word. Begat. Now, if I lived 100 years ago, people wouldn't understand me. I was explaining to my son today, I have an Israeli son. I was explaining to him what Shakespeare means. I was explaining to him that shit with it. They didn't always speak English the way they speak English today. They used to say things like, I begat him. So that's it. So, this thing we were talking about here in the Megillah. So he asked me, like, what book I read, and why I know, like, more about Shakespeare. So I was thinking also, Shad and the Gemara maybe, that now that we've determined that Purim has a whole lot to do with the Beis HaMikdash and with Israel and with Jerusalem in particular, I think maybe that's Shad and the Gemara. The Gemara is like this. Why don't we say nay a Hallel and a miracle that happened outside of Israel? So there are a few answers given. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? So one answer given is that we don't say Hallel on a miracle that happens outside of Israel. Now there are other reasons given in the Gemara. They don't like that reason. So it could be, one of the reasons that they don't like that reason is because the Queen, so this is a principle, that in the Nevuah, you can only prophesy either in Israel or outside of Israel for the sake of Israel. Like, this prophecy is that deepest connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it has to be somehow related to Israel. So it could be that the other Amoraim felt that that's not a good reason. It's a nesh of Chutz La'aretz, not to say Hallel. Because it's really a nesh of Eretz Israel. It's really a nesh all about, really, geographically, they happen to have been outside of Israel. But since the whole miracle was centered around Israel, So therefore, you should say hallel. It's really an Israel miracle. So therefore, they had to give other reasons not to say hallel. The reading is hallel. Other reasons. Fine. That's far as that's concerned. Now, the also Stan was thinking that the whole, we know that in the, when the Jewish people were in the desert, they were having miracles were happening. And that's why they didn't want to go into Israel. Some of the Jews didn't want to get, that's one of the reasons given why the Jews complained. When the rabbi came back, they didn't want to go into Israel. Why? Because in the desert there were miracles. And in Israel, God is watching the Jewish people, but in a more hidden way. So it's the same idea. Living in Israel is the same idea as the miracles of Esther. The Jewish people, they work the land, and they live in the land, and they live natural lives, and they know God is behind it, but it's not supernatural. So Eretz Israel could also be in the very similar to this this miracle of Purim. That's it. So what is that all about Purim and Israel? So now we have to end. We always know that every idea, you say, always has to have a practical ramifications. Ramban said, whenever you learn anything, whenever you close your sefer, you should say, how is this going to change my life? Anything you learn, any day, anything that, any Torah, is always supposed to have some sort of effect on your behavior. That's why the Gemara says that this world is like a wedding hall. Why is this world like a wedding hall? There are many answers given. But one answer given is, if you have a wedding, and you invite 700 guests, and Avram Fried, and Mordechai Ben David, and Rabbi Yehuda Kasper, and food, and waiters, and everything you would want at a wedding, and a kala, and a chasen, and a chuppah, and everything. And he says, Harad Mekudeshes, everything is meaningless. Until he says the word, Li. That's the key word when you get married. Don't forget to say to the girl, Li. Harad Mekudeshes, Li, you're married to me. So the Gemara is saying that this world is like a wedding hall. That everything you see, you have to remember the leaf. It can't just be up in the air like that. You have to remember how it applies to me. That's one explanation of the Gemara. That is applied to us. There are various things that people try to do to talk about living in Israel. Why Israel is important? So since we're having, this is an Israel holiday, more than just as much as any other holiday, so I was thinking, why? So people sometimes say, live in Israel because this way you'll live amongst Jews. So, you know, just living in the Rova Yehudi. I know that most of the day I see lots of going, so I live in New Square, so New Square you can see Jews. I don't know if that's a reason to live in Israel. People say, live in Israel because it's part of our history. So, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to live in our history. In the history, we didn't have cars, we didn't have computers. We didn't have, it's nice to live in the present and then go on into the future. Sometimes you have to advance. So because of our history, I don't know if this is some abstract concept, at least I personally, and maybe other people relate to it better, but I don't really relate to it so well. Other people say, live in Israel because it's a mitzvah. And that's already a strong argument. This is a mitzvah, and every morning we put on tefillin. Since every morning we put on tefillin, every morning we should also live in Israel. It's a mitzvah. So I don't know why it's different than tefillin, and no different than tzitzit, and no different than keeping Shabbos. So people don't say, oh, no. You know, I don't really feel comfortable on Shabbos, so I don't keep Shabbos. People keep Shabbos even if they don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable not eating lobster. You do it anyway. But then people are like, so therefore it's also a mitzvah to live in Israel. So some people want to answer, no, it's not a mitzvah. Why isn't it a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah because the Shulchan Aruch never says that it's a mitzvah to live in Israel. You know that? You're not going to find a siman in Shulchan Aruch that says, mitzvah to live Eretz Israel. You're not going to find anything. Oh, they're probably because of the language. But those, not only that, the Rambam also doesn't say it's a mitzvah. Even the Rambam. So, the Rambam says that you're not allowed to leave. It's going to be a problem for some of you, but some people hold this only if you already live here. But if you're just visiting, you're allowed to leave. But for a person who lives here, I'm not allowed to leave Israel. I'm stuck. I'm stuck here for life. I'm only allowed to leave by the head there. So sometimes if I need it, you know, I have to go, so I go to my postdoc and I say, do I have the head there to leave? And then it gives me permission if the Torah will permit me. But otherwise, unless I get a special head there, I'm stuck. I'm not allowed to leave. But to come here in the first place, that it doesn't say in the Rambam or in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, one could theoretically answer that there are places in the Shulchan Aruch where it seems clear that it's a mitzvah, even though he doesn't say it explicitly, but it emerges from his words. And you can also say the same thing in the Rambam, and people learn it also from the Rambam. And about every other Rishon explicitly says it is a mitzvah. And not only the Rishonim, but the Achronim also say that it's a mitzvah to live. So therefore you have the Gemara, you have the Chumash, which is just about in every parsha connected somehow to Israel. You have the Gemara, which has lots of things. And then you have the Rishonim. Almost all of them say it's a mitzvah, over 150, if I'm not mistaken. And then you have the Achronim, over 150 Achronim, we say, including the Chazon Ish and the Chofetz Chaim, and almost all of them. But some people want to stick with the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe said it's not a mitzvah. So let's just say now you're in the Satmar camp, yeah, and you really believe that it's not a mitzvah to be here, because there's a whole book which we have in the back, this Zion of Sheba, called Vayol Moshe, and in that book he said it's not a mitzvah. So if you want to follow that opinion, it's a very hard opinion to follow, because almost everybody else holds it is a mitzvah. But let's just say for a second, you want to go to the most extreme opinion in Judaism that holds that the Zman HaZeh, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there is no mitzvah anymore to live in the Holy Land of Israel. So then, what do you say to such a person? This is very simple. Even according to that book, I read it, there's a lot of it, he says that it's not a strict mitzvah, like putting on tzitzit, or wearing tefillin, or Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it's a mitzvah chiyumis, it's not a mitzvah you have to do like wearing tefillin, but if you want to do it, you get a mitzvah. Even if you hold that you don't have to, but there's something else. There's this concept in the world called Hashem. Hashem! What's Hashem? So we know the very Shulchan Aruch starts off the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Shirisi Hashem l'negditami. That all day long, we're thinking about Hashem. So I have a famous story. Somebody once came up to the Baal Shem Tov. And he said to the Baal Shem Tov that they say that you're a miracle worker and you can read minds. What am I thinking now? He's a rabbi, a non-Hasidic rabbi. So this is simple what you're thinking. You're thinking about Hashem. You're thinking, Shivit Hashem, the Nagi Tamid, I will always place Hashem before me. So the rabbi's like, nah, no I'm not. You see, you can't read minds. So Hashem, listen to me. I don't understand. How could a Jew not be thinking Shivit Hashem, the Nagi Tamid? He wasn't doing it based on his, you know, divine spirit that he has. He says, of course that's not a Jew. A Jew wants to get close to Hashem. That's the one and only reason we're here. God is the ultimate good. God is the ultimate love, warmth, everything positive we can imagine. And we want to connect to that as much as possible and as deeply as possible. So says the Satmar Rebbe in the Sefer Vayahol Moshe, there's no place to do that like the land of Israel. If you really want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the place to do it. That's what he says. He just says one thing, one caveat. He says, just don't do any Averas here. Because if you're going to do an Avera in the king's palace, it's a very serious Avera. But if you're going to do a mitzvah in the king's palace, it's a very serious mitzvah. The Chofetz Chaim says that every mitzvah you do here in Israel is 20 times worth of mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz. So here you learn one daf Gemara. It's 20 daf of Gemara in Chutz La'aretz. This way, you don't have to learn. Because somebody in America is making a Siyum HaShas, just to buy the pages of Shas like 20, learn that many pages, and you get as much as a guy in good glory. Because it's 20 times more. Just Averis here also. They're very potent. All of our deeds in Israel are very potent. So you have to be careful. But our mitzvahs are worth a lot more. Because this is the place. The place says, Eretz Asher Eimei Hashem Elokecha Meireis Hashem. This is where God's looking. God is looking. God is connected to Israel. Good glory. He says he has his angels taking care of it. Of course, he's the overseer. But it's not nearly as intimate. So we have the Shivisi Hashem and Nagi Kamek. We're always thinking about Hashem. And the place to get closest to Hashem is Israel. That nobody in history ever argued about. Not from the Torah, not in the Via, not Suba, not Rishon, not Chon. You're not going to find it anywhere else that a person can get closer, especially, is Zman HaZeh. Zman HaZeh, in the olden days, it was hard. There weren't so many yeshivas in Israel, and there weren't so many kosher food, and there were problems with the grain. Today, it's very easy to get kosher food in Jerusalem. The Ramban writes, when he came to Israel, he has a diary, the Ramban, the chief rabbi of the old city 800 years ago. So he started a nice shul over here. It's great. You can get a 9:30 minyan on a Friday morning, right? So he writes in his diary, he came to Israel, he didn't even have a Sefer Torah. There were two painters or something. There were only two painters left in Jerusalem who lived here. They didn't have a minyan of Jews. But today, there's milk. There's food, there's drink, there's place to stay. There's security, even though people are a little bit worried. But I don't know, I see a lot more security guards than I see terrorists. So therefore, we have really today, everything you need, both Gashmias-wise, certainly, I don't know anybody who says that I'm living in Israel, I can't survive. Food, anyone who goes downstairs knows there's food galore in Israel. Just what the King David makes on one Shabbos afternoon, you can feed a whole army. And certainly, Ruchnius-wise, I've never heard anybody claim that today, in the year 5765, you know, sometimes people talk about the year 2005, but that's 3,700 years ago. I don't like to live in the past, I always say. I want to live now. 5765, nobody will claim that they'll get closer to God in Chutzlaris than they will in Israel. Now, if somebody can't do it, if somebody is 58 years old, and he has a job, and he has a big family, and he has his kids, and he'll lose his job, and he's doing a lot of good in Chutzlaris, there's something to talk about. I'm talking right now to 18, 19, 20-year-old young men who haven't really started yet, who haven't started a family, who don't have a job yet. Think about it. If God is important to you, then nobody would argue that God is, this is the place for God. This is the place for God, even if it wouldn't be Israel, even if we'd be in Uganda now. There's the most Rabbanim, and there's the most Ruchnius, and there's the most Kedusha, as far as Kiyum HaMitzvot goes. This is the most seriously godly place, just as far as the way people act. And then the fact that it's also the land of Israel, everybody agrees, the land of Israel in and of itself, from the time God created the world, already you see he sent Avram, before there were even mitzvahs to do in Israel, before mitzvahs were supposed, he sent Avram to Israel, that Israel was the place to do it. So, that's why, speaking, Purim is such a happy holiday. Purim is limitlessly happy. Because it's in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Anaytitam. Now, Purim is the holiday, is a real big Israel holiday. Now, the last at the end of Shulchan Aruch, you know the Ramayan Shulchan Aruch? He says, this is the beginning of Shivisi Hashem Anaytitam, and the last sentence of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov, Rei, Sadi, Zayin, is V'tov Lev Nishta Tamid. So everyone tries to figure out, what is the low one? The pasuk teaches. The pasuk means, V'tov Lev, a good heart, Nishta Tamid, is always partying. But what did he want? It doesn't really seem to relate to what he said before. A good heart is always Mishta. Many people try to connect it to the beginning. Remember, you always try to, says in Sefer Yetzirah, which is a Kabbalistic book, that you always try to connect the end to the beginning. So the end is V'tov Lev Mishta Tamid, and the beginning is Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. Maybe Rambam's telling us a secret. Rambam's telling us, you want Tov Lev Mishta Tamid, you want to be happy, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. Tamid means always. You got the two Tamids. Tamid is always. You want the Tov Lev Mishta Tamid, you always want to be happy, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. You're connected to God. A person who is connected to God is always happy. There's no question about it. All asavas results from a person being far away from God. That's why we say every day in davening, all of us say, Oz, V'chedva b'makoma. What's chedva? Besides the name of the girl? Joy. Happiness. Happiness is in God's place. If you're near God, you're happy. That's the way it is, because God is happy. God is simcha. That's why Olam Haba is such a great place, because you're near God, and people really enjoy themselves there. So that is also what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. V'haya ki tavo al haaretz. V'haya, say Chazal, is always simcha. When you will come to the land, the word v'haya always means joy. So the pasuk says, V'haya, which denotes joy when you come to the land. So the Or HaChaim says, and I feel close to him, I live on the street, and he has a shul right there, V'haya, Ein V'haya L'Lashim Simcha, Ein Simcha, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. There is no joy, says the Or HaChaim, who was a big businessman in some Arabic country, before he met Aliyah, there is no joy like the joy of living in Israel. Listen, Shivisi Hashem Anaytitam Tamid. If you want to always be connected, you want to be the Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. You always want to be happy. Shivisi Hashem Anaytitam Tamid. You always have to be thinking about Hashem's Baruch Hu. And what's the place to do it? What's the place? Ain't some cooking Shivisi Eretz Yisrael. And a person wants the Tamid of seeing Hashem, and the Tamid, the always, the constancy of being the Simcha, needs to be in Israel. Obviously, it's not a reality necessarily for everybody. It's not everybody is always so connected. But people who are really connected are really happy. And when we even feel ourselves, when we're learning well, and when we're davening well, we're usually happier. And when we have a lot of doubts about our faith, and when we have, we have to deal with our Yetzer Hara a lot, so we're not as happy. That's been my experience. Speaking to people, that's been my experience personally, that the more connected I am, the happier I am. So since Purim is the holiday of us yearning for Israel, almost losing Israel, and coming back, ultimately, the Hipuch was, the Menachah who was, that ultimately we were able to come back to Israel, and that's the whole Purim story. Was the catalyst for the ultimate rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. That's the greatest simcha. That's the Tov Lev Mishta Tamid, together with the Shivisi Hashem Anaytitam Tamid, which is all encapsulated in being in Israel. So therefore, I'm not promising you that every second is going to be a bed of roses, but one thing is for sure. People who are interested in Hashem are interested in Israel. Everybody I speak to, who comes from Chutz Laaretz, these are two types of people. One type of person who's there, But he just yearns to be here because he feels like if he's here, he'll be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I know another type of person who's not interested in coming. And I've never heard a person who said, I'm not interested in coming, because I just feel that when I'm in Chutz Laretz, I'll be able to get closer to Hashem. I'll really be able to maximize my avodah. So since I've never heard that, I therefore can't think of any reason, since the premise is that we're in this world for God. We're in this world to serve Hashem. We're Jews. That's what we're doing here. We're going to have their job. And our job is to get as close as possible to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So since this is the place, and I've never heard anybody say otherwise, to get close to Hashem, so why wouldn't a person want to be here? So some people are afraid that if they live here, they can't be rich. They're mistaken on two accounts. The first account they're mistaken on is there are people who are rich. There are plenty of Israelis who are rich. So it's the Apituach, we mean rich people. You go to Savion, rich people. Even in Jerusalem, you don't have to go far. The Rovi Yudi, they're rich people. In the Rechavi, they're rich people all over. So that's the first mistake. The second mistake is that people think that if they're rich, they'll be happy. And therefore, they can't live in Israel because they won't be rich. But if they live in Chutz Laretz, they'll be rich. And therefore, they'll be happy. But that's an even bigger mistake. Because people who are rich are usually unhappy. So if you think that if you live in Chutz Laretz, you'll be rich, and that if you live in Israel, you won't be rich, then that's an even better reason to come to Israel. Because rich people are usually unhappy. Now, I'm not telling you not to be rich. If you can be rich and be happy at the same time, that's really the best. That's mamash the best, especially for the yeshiva, because you're a graduate and you'll remember us every year. But, besides, I just took that from a Venus book, I'm sorry, usually I try to be original. But besides that, it's not going to make you happy. I know it. Anybody knows? Anybody who lives in neighborhoods where there are rich people, and you know them well. You know any rich family very well, intimately, you'll know that they're almost never happy. I'm not sure I know one rich, happy person. I grew up with rich people, and anybody I got to know well, I saw they really weren't so happy. And you know, you have these ladies, and they have fancy cars, and furs, and vacations, and Broadway shows, and they're usually spending a lot of their husband's money on psychology. Now, it could be make them happy. Could be they like their psychologist. It could be. But don't think. No, I wasn't implying that. That's the world we live in. So, wait, guys, don't think you're going to miss out on happiness because you're going to be in Israel. All you're going to get is you're going to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doubtless. It's a guarantee. I sign right now. I'll sign anybody. You're going to be closer to God, and your children are going to be closer. You can't just think about yourself. Think about yourself. You're already advanced. You can do it. You can live in Chutz Laretz and be a much bigger tzaddik. You're going to learn 20 daffin every day. You know, in Israel, they're learning one daffin and it's worth 20. So you're going to learn 20 pages a day in Chutz Laretz. Your mom's going to be the tzaddik hadur. What about your children? Your children aren't necessarily as holy as you. Just like we know we're not always as holy as our parents. And we sometimes did what we wanted to do. But our children are probably going to be the same way. So if you want your child to turn out the way you turned out, so then maybe think about it. But we all want our children to be better than ourselves. That's our goal. We want to be, we tried our best, but we saw that we sometimes fail. We want our children to be better. And if you want your children to be better, this is beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's nothing to talk about. Your child doesn't have to grow up with Christmas, and it doesn't grow up with New Year's, and it doesn't have, and you want sales, okay, in Israel, they have sales, Hanukkah time, they have sales before the Yom Ha'aron. They have sales also. But all the Avodah Zarah, and all the secularism, and all the materialism, and all of the, everything that America is, I'm not even talking about I'm talking about more neutral things, but besides the other stuff, which is usually the subject of my discussions. So putting all of that aside, a child who grows up here, he's going to have just a lot less of that. A lot less, obviously, today you have the internet, you can bring all the shmutz into your house also. But if you live, you have a good Jewish home in Jerusalem, or in Ramat Beit Shemesh, or whatever it is, your children are going to grow up in a lot more purified Jewish environment. And since that's what we're here for, and really for nothing else, there's no reason not to do it. I haven't heard. If anybody has, if anybody wants, also privately, to come up to me and give me a good reason why you shouldn't be here, and I'd really like to hear it right now. Obviously, 20 years from now, it's going to be much more difficult. But right now, you can find a job here, you can have a family, you can make a good living, you can have, a person can have almost everything they want, and they can be much closer to Hashem. The only people I know usually who aren't interested is because Hashem is only about fifth or sixth on their list. If Hashem is fifth or sixth on your list, then Israel really isn't a place for you, because sometimes it could be a headache, and sometimes people are nervous, and there's a lot of, it's also not easy living in Israel. It's a challenge sometimes. Sometimes it is easier being in a nice fancy neighborhood in America. But I can tell you, for your ultimate simcha's sake, and for your consciousness sake, and for your keshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think it's worthwhile that the Schus Mishag of Purim, which is really the holiday of Israel, the holiday of return to Israel, that we all consider it. And in that schus, we'll see Amir Tashem Bahaya Kitabu Ala Aretz, that Bahaya means simcha, that there's no simcha like the simcha of being in Israel. Purim Sameach. 1 second. 2, 3, 4.
If the rest Hashem is Simcha, if the rest Hashem is Simcha, all the land of Sinai, all the land of Sinai, if the rest Hashem is Simcha, if the rest Hashem is Simcha, all the land of Sinai, all the land of Sinai, la 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 la